I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Iron Brew Podcast. Brad Mell, Matt Blanchard, and Matt Ellis. Well, it's been a while since we've done an episode, and there's been, you know, a few reasons for that. I think firstly there was a couple of family commitments, which is why we found, you know, recording time a little bit difficult at the minute. But I think most importantly, looking at the end of the season, you know, we did one after the York game, and then we had that Torquay result, didn't we? And I think when we lost 1-0 to them, realistically, you knew it was done, didn't you? And then you had the Easter weekend, mathematically down, you know, against Oldham. And then you got three games left. And when you're down, it's not really worth coming on to sort of, you know, talk about it. Everybody knows the situation. Everybody knows, you know, the performances, things like that. There's nothing really, you know, this podcast can add to that discussion. And then, so we thought, well, let's wait till the end of the season. Let's wait for the retain list to come out. So then at least we can look ahead a bit more and you know, focus on next season. So yeah, I think this episode will mainly focus around that retain list. But before we get to that, as I say, because we haven't done one for a while, let's just acknowledge the fact that, you know, next year it is, you know, regional football. It is another relegation, you know, successive relegation again. Yeah, National League North next year. But, you know, what are you making of it all?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously bitterly disappointing, but I think the most disappointing aspect of it for me is the fact that, you know, how badly we tailed off towards the end of the season. I know you mentioned there the York game and obviously the Torquay game is kind of two that we just had to win. And you look at the form table, you look at the league table and how far we finished. I mean, we were 16 points off safety. And, you know, we thought it was bad last season when we finished so far adrift in League Two. I don't think anyone thought we'd be that far adrift in the National League. Let's be honest. I think that was, we knew, I think we all kind of agreed that it was probably going to be a struggle again. However, to finish 16 points off safety is just an absolute disgrace. And you look at that form table, you know, losing the last six in the manner we did in some of those games just wasn't acceptable. And I think it was, you know, last season there was perhaps a bit of an argument to play the youngsters and you know, they got some game time and some of them weren't quite ready and the results kind of reflected that. But I think this season, you know, there was no excuse for it. And those last six games, quite honestly, have been an absolute disgrace. And it's a shame because I think, you know, after that, before that Notts County game, we went into that Notts County game on the back of, you know, a couple of decent results, and we were optimistic that we might have enough to get out of it, and that wasn't that long ago, really, in the grand scheme of things, and you know how it's kind of gone downhill since then, for whatever reason, it has been really poor, and yeah, as I say, to finish off the season like that, I think the majority of other clubs down at the bottom, probably aside from Yeovil. And Maidstone had a decent run towards the back end of the season, picked up a few wins and got themselves out of trouble. You look at Dorking, who we thought we might be able to catch at one point. They had a really good run and pulled themselves away. And
York Gateshead as well.
Yeah, Gateshead had a fantastic run and York and Torquay. Obviously, Torquay came down, but they finished the season really strongly. And, you know, that game at Glanford Park between the two sides, there was only one team for me that looked like they wanted to win that, and Torquay deserved to win that game, and they looked like they might just go on and secure safety. Obviously, it didn't quite work out for them. But, you know, that was the difference for me, that the other teams down there that we played looked like they wanted it more, and really, that's unforgivable. And, you know, it just hasn't worked. The players that came in January, you know, we've spoken that we've probably brought too many in. I don't think you can question Hilton in the sense that he's gone for it. He's brought players in. We needed some reinforcements. You know, he's obviously done his best to get players through the door. However, you know, it's been a bit of a disaster, really, in terms of what's happened on the pitch.
it's the manner of the relegation, isn't it, really, being so far adrift and seeing other clubs in and around us sort of giving it a good go, as you said, kind of Torquay, who won like six in a row at one point. And honestly, they were really unlucky not to stay up. They give it a hell of a go. You know, they give it everything, didn't they, really, to be fair to them. And as you said, Brad, there, Gateshead, who put a hell of a run together. And we just didn't manage anything, really, and which was the disappointment, I think, was the manner of it, and the massive investment, obviously, after Hilton came in, or you know, the willingness to bring players in. Obviously, that doesn't always work, but I think, you know, think about it, probably sort of maybe Torquay and Yeovil would have killed to have that kind of cash injection just before the final few months of the season to give them a fighting chance. But yeah, really, the manner of it was the most disappointing thing, really, and especially for kind of the backing that the team got from the fans as well, because we went to, obviously, we went to Notts County in serious numbers, and really the performance kind of then, you know, albeit against probably the best team in the league, was pathetic, wasn't it, really? I mean, I don't mind losing to a good team, but Jesus Christ, it was like they were playing sort of like children, weren't they? That was what it was. So really disappointing. Again, that happened so many times, that was obviously an issue. And, you know, here we go again, another relegation.
Yeah, well, let's look ahead to next season. We'll go to the players in a minute, and you know where we maybe need to strengthen this summer and things like that. Just as an overview for the league, you know, National League North. I'm not going to pretend. I don't know about you two, but I know nothing of this league. I don't know much about it at all. I'm not suggesting that it will be easy. I really don't think it will be. I think in some ways, you know, consolidation, you know, could be quite useful for us. And I mean, we've needed it for a few seasons, haven't we? But the fact that maybe playing wise, we're staying full time and there's a, you know, fair few part-time teams down there, that's got to give us a bit of an edge. You know, the budget that we're supposedly having, that's going to give us a bit of an edge. Where do you sort of aim for next season? I think for me, not necessarily thinking we're going to get it, but playoffs would be a minimum target.
We've obviously heard the new owner say that we're going to have the best budget in the league, and you know, the aim is to win the league. And really, I think sort of in two parts, that's sort of unrealistic. But at the same time, we're a really big team coming down into that league with a big kind of, you know, a big travelling fan base. So
yeah, we have a travel in a way. We have a travelling fan base, but are we a big team going to that league? I mean, historically, we are, but over the last couple of seasons, are we really anymore?
I mean, we are and we aren't really. You can look at it different ways. I mean, a team that takes 1,400 fans to an away game is considered, especially in this league, even in the National League, you know, that's a big team. But obviously, in the National League, we've got to be considered, just from recent history, being the Championship, you know, and stuff like that, and obviously being a Football League Cup for so many years, and then dropping out of it, we're still considered a big team. But at the same time, I know what you're saying. You know, realistically, in kind of relative terms, the club's sort of fan base and population area and stuff like that, it will be comparable to a few clubs in the league we're just dropping down into, really. But I think that, you know, I kind of agree with Hilton on that. I think that really the aim should be to win the league. And I know it's not going to be as easy as that. Look, we've seen how kind of difficult this has been. Look, we were expected to sort of do well in the National League, especially after kind of the first game of the season when we beat Yeovil. We thought, all right, we'll be all right in the league. But obviously, that wasn't the case. Obviously, we'll go into kind of how realistic that is, you know, based on sort of like the retain list and the current manager and things like that. But I still think that we're a big club in this league. And at the end of the day, a lot of our away games, we are going to be the majority crowd, which is, you know, a kind of representation of that. And obviously, really, it's going to make a lot of away games feel a little bit like a home game, just because of the backing of the sheer amount of Iron fans that will go.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, really. For me, I'd be really happy just to kind of arrest the slide and consolidate. I know that might... I've seen some people saying, you know, we should be going for the title. And I understand that to a point, but you've got to look at it. We may have the biggest budget or one of the biggest budgets next season, but we've got to spend it well. And given what happened in January, I've got very little faith that we are actually going to do that. You know, we spent quite heavily in January. You know, February, wasn't it? You know, we got a lot of players in at that time. Out of those, you know, some of them went back pretty early. Some of them were left. You know, we've Toby Fuster, Madonna. You know, they left after a month or so. So the recruitment wasn't right. I know, you know, we gave it a go in terms of getting bodies through the door, but unfortunately, some of them just didn't cut it. And you know, there's a lot of trust this summer, really, in Dean and Turnbull and Hilton. You know, if Hilton gets involved, clearly he had a hand in some of the signings in February. You know, there's a lot riding on them picking the players that are suitable to have a good season. And, you know, we've not seen anything for a while that suggests that we're going to do that. I know Turnbull historically has picked out some good players for us, obviously at a much higher level. Dean knows the level to a point. You know, he's managed nearly as many games now, I think, in the National League as he has the National League North. So I think this sort of myth that he's really experienced in the National League North, it's just not true, because he's only had half a season in there. So he will know some players for the level, I guess, because he's managed there half a season. But again, it's going to be difficult to bring players in, because you look at some of the better players in the league. You know, there's a guy at Spennymoor who, you know, loads of clubs have been after. I think Wrexham tried to sign him last year, striker, scored 25 goals again, I think, this season. But he's part-time, and he's also a teacher. And I think there's going to be quite a few players in that sort of bracket where, you know, they're probably quite happy on part-time deals somewhere. And then, you know, they've got the job, you know, on the side during the week, or they're playing football on the side, I suppose.
That's a thing, actually, that I've seen a lot of people say in terms of, you know, that's a draw of us, is that we're, you know, a full-time club. But I think that does wildly underestimate, you know, how easy it would be to, you know, remove a job that realistically is probably your main source of income. Mm-hmm. You know, the football is going to be secondary. Chances are, move completely, and, you know, move your family completely. It's not really the same game as, you know, higher up, when people do, you know, move clubs every year or every 2 or 3 years. I think it's a much bigger commitment in many ways to make that jump to full time. And I think there's still an awful lot of risks that a lot of people wouldn't chance. And I'm not saying that with us. I'm saying making the move to full time.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there was a player at Peterborough Sports, wasn't there? I think Jimmy wanted to bring one of the centre-backs. And he decided he was staying there, and he was part-time there, and he obviously had a job. And that was it. And there was no budging on that. And I think we will find that quite a few players also have that kind of mindset. So we've got to be mindful of that. And I think, you know, it's going to be tricky to get the players in. You know, we probably are one of the big clubs. You know, you look at Chester, still might get promoted, and Kidderminster, you know, Kidderminster aren't massive, but, you know, they've been in the Football League, Darlington and a few others in that sort of bracket. But yeah, I still think it's going to be difficult to get players in. And the recruitment has to be right. You know, I think most people, we will go into the season as one of the favourites, just because of, you know, we've been in the Football League a very long time, and we really shouldn't be playing at that level. But unfortunately, we are. You know, we deserve to be. We've been awful for the past sort of five seasons, and this is sort of where we are now. But yeah, I do think the summer is massive in more ways than one. It's not just on the pitch, is it? It's off the pitch, and there's various things that need to be resolved.
So we've mentioned the recruitment there being, you know, quite vital this summer. Let's take a look at the team and see exactly where that's going to need to be. So let's start with the players that we've already got and are here. I will put the sort of caveat that at the bottom of this release statement is, you know, the sentence that says, we anticipate that some of the players under contract may also be leaving the football club this summer. So, you know, it suggests that this is not quite done yet, is it? But I'll just read them out, and then we can maybe pick up one or two. So players under contract: Aaron Chapman, Owen Foster, Regan Ogle, Andrew Boyce, Alfie Beeston, Harry Lewis, Jacob Butterfield, Deon Sembe-Ferris, Danny Elliott, and Marcus Carver. So let's add this as well. Let's add contract offers made too, because I think it will count. So Tom Pugh, Cam Wilson, and Dean Rance. And then options have been taken on the following. So Finch Rimpton and Ethan Young. So yeah, Chapman, Foster. So we've got the keepers there. Ogle as well. You know, Boyce, you know, defenders there. I think if we do keep hold of them, I think, you know, they should be good at this level. Of those, who would you anticipate potentially, you know, being picked up by somebody, I don't know, either the same level or higher up, if it's, you know, saying that we anticipate some are leaving?
But for me, I mean, just looking at the players under contract list, I think realistically I could probably only see maybe 4 or 5 staying. I think Chapman will probably stay. Sembe-Ferris, Elliott and Carver. And then probably the rest will maybe move on. I think maybe Harry Lewis will stay, but I think Ogle will go. I think Foster will go. I think Boyce will probably go. I would think Beeston as well. And I can take it or leave it with Beeston. I'm not that bothered about Beeston. I think Butterfield's probably got another couple of seasons in National League and maybe even League Two, to be honest, you know, as long as he can keep fit. And then with like kind of Pugh, Wilson and Rance, I know you sort of spoke about Wilson on Twitter, Matt, whether or not he'll get kind of an offer from somewhere else. I can't see him being here next season, to be honest. I think somebody from maybe National League North will come in for him. Rance, I don't really know, to be honest. And then Pugh, I don't mind Pugh. I think, you know, I'd be good to keep him.
Him and Shrimpton, I think, have been pretty good. And I'm pleased that Shrimpton sort of, we'll take up the option on him, because I do like him, and I think he has been one of the better players. I know it's not saying an awful lot this season, but I do think, you know, he's come into his own a little bit this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's nice to keep Shrimpton, and I think he'll probably be given kind of more of a starring role next year, which is pretty cool. And obviously, we'll just look at the sheer amount of players that have left. Obviously, 1, 2, 3, 4. 12 under contract, and obviously of the loan players as well. But as I said, you know, we probably expect another fair, at least half of that players under contract list to kind of move on there. And
my only counterpoint to that is, and I've seen a few people saying this, you know, realistically, you know, this is a team that have been relegated from the National League. This is a team that have had a terrible record across the season, you know, an awful lot of goals conceded, you know, not scoring. Are people going to come in and take a chance on them?
Yeah, I mean, I think people will. I think they will in terms of like players like Foster. Obviously, he's been kind of linked with clubs higher up.
Yeah, I agree with Foster.
Still really young. You know, he's going to go, isn't he, really? And I think Ogle's been really good. And again, I think Ogle can do it in National League and maybe at a push League Two, honestly. I think he's good. I think his defending's not that great, but he's really good going forward. You know, and I sort of think with that, I think somebody will take a chance on Beeston, honestly, and I think somebody will take a chance on Butterfield as well. So, I see what you're saying, but I think, like, obviously players like Butterfield who've had good careers, they're going to just see they've been at Scunny for a year. Yeah, they've scored a few goals, they've been all right. It's not really worked fair enough. We'll still take them on. You know, it's I don't think it's going to take away from the reputation and stuff like that. So. you know, it's going to be a hugely different team. But honestly, I think that the sort of the main two players out of all of those that I'd like to see stay is one, Aaron Chapman, and two, Danny Elliott. And the rest, for me, can kind of do whatever they want. And I think that Elliott will score goals at this level. I genuinely think he will. And I think he'll be a really big player for his next season if he's kept fit and he gets a few goals early and goes on a bit of a run. I think he'll do really well. And obviously Chapman, you know, finally we've got kind of a sort of experienced keeper with a bit of presence. And again, I think he'll do well at that level. It's a lot lower than he's kind of used to playing. So, you know, again, if he can keep fixed, I realise he's injured at the minute. But I think for those two and then build on that really is kind of the way to go. But again, we don't know how successful the signings are going to be. As you said, Matt, I think that the signings need to be correct and they need to be better than they were you know, around February time. However, having said that, obviously in summer, you've got a lot more time to sit and think about what you're going to do, bringing in, you're in no kind of emergency rush as we were, just trying to get people in and just sort of almost for the sake of it, really. And I don't think that that will be the approach this summer. Let's hope that it's a bit more considered and we kind of bring in the right players, you know, to complement what we keep, really, and then see how we go.
I will just add to that that in terms of the recruitment done, you know, in January, February time, that I don't think you can just write it all off, because I think there has been some, you know, players that have been actually, you know, very good for us. You know, I'm thinking Will Smith, you know, Bunker as well, when he was here. Obviously, unfortunately, he got recalled, wasn't it, at the time, but he was great. I also, Ben Richards, Everton, I know we're just slightly jumping ahead to players leaving, but that one potentially surprised that he's not necessarily here next year as well.
Yeah, you're right. You know, out of some of the signings, we made some really solid signings, and we needed more of them, really. But also, you know, some of them that were just so bizarre, like the Jerry Madonna one, where he came
and got
shipped out. Like, what was that about? And there was a few of those.
I do think that'll become more common though next season. I think we will see players sort of in and out, and I think that is going to be, you know, that's probably where we are at the moment. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are a few more strange signings like that next season. But yeah, I mean, I'd agree with you in terms of players going out, Matt, to a point. I think, you know, Elliot, I think it's really important he got those couple of goals. You know, he's needed them, hasn't he? Because he's been snatching at quite a few chances. He's kind of overall play hasn't been too bad, but in front of goal, he was quite, you know, he was poor, let's be honest. He missed some decent chances. So it was really, really important for him to get those. And I think of the signings, he could probably go on to be the best one we've seen so far. I think he has got a bit about him, and you know, it'd be interesting. I know he's under contract, but it'd be interesting to see if anyone comes in for him, given, you know, he can score goals at the National League level, and he's kind of proved that Gateshead, and now he's got a couple with us. So that would be quite an interesting one. But in terms of the rest, I think you're right with Chapman. The thing that concerns me about Chapman is the injury. I think it's a back injury, isn't it? I don't know. For me, that's question marks over that, really, because it could be quite a tricky one to get over. And the last thing we need is sort of an experienced player out. Obviously, it's ruled him out for quite a considerable amount of time towards the end of the season. You know, if that's not right and kind of flares up again, then, you know, it could be a bit of a nasty one. But I do think you're right with Foster. I think he will go. Sounds like he's been on trial at Hull, and I think he's a Hull lad. So, you know, I think if they come in for him, that could be, you know, that could be the move for him there. I know other clubs higher up the pyramid have been watching him as well, but I think that wouldn't be a bad move for him if Hull came in. And then the others, I don't know, I'm with you with Beeston. I think he's not been the same, has he, really? Should be able to do it at that level, no problem, but he's not been the same since COVID and things like that. He's never really come back the same player. And Butterfield, I think he'd be okay at National League North. I think he'd be one of the better players, but again, I think he is a bit of a luxury. I just don't think he's going to fit into how Dean wants to play next season. I think he's already kind of hinted it'll be high energy and young lads. You're looking at Shrimpton and players like that who are going to, you know, run around, stick the boot in, and I do think we will need some quality and someone in the mould of Butterfield, but I just don't think it's going to be him. I can see him moving on. And Ogle's the other one, isn't it? I would like to keep him. You know, I think with Ogle and Shrimpton, they're the two, really, and Pugh to an extent, I think they're sort of the three that have really put it in terms of the player, our players signed on for next season, who have kind of given their all, and they could say they've given their all every time they've stepped on the pitch. I think, you know, Pugh went off the boil towards the back end of the last season, but it makes sense to offer him a deal as backup if nothing else. So yeah, that's probably the thinking behind that one. And then Boyce could go for me, I think, as well. I think, you know, he's probably lucky that he's got another year under his belt, and I think that could could really be said for most of them, because I don't think any of them really deserve, I don't think any really.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
They deserve to go in and say they deserve the new contract. So yeah, I think they're all lucky that they have got a contract, and the ones that have been made offers as well. Pugh, I can understand, as I said. Wilson, I actually think Wilson will stay, because I just can't see anyone taking a punt on him. So I think he will have to stay.
Yeah, let's just pick up on that, because about Wilson there, because you mentioned this on Twitter, haven't you? And I think certainly at one point in the season he was getting a lot of focus, wasn't he? And previously he's had an awful lot of praise. You're not so sure why not?
Look, I think he had a decent spell. Scored a few goals, looked quite sharp, especially under Nelson. Towards the end of Nelson's sort of stint as manager, I think he was, he did okay. And he's had a couple of games since for Dean where he's played well. And I think the Wealdstone game was one. But overall, I don't know. It's difficult because he's still a young player. But for me, sort of, towards the back end of the season, his body language was just all wrong for me. I saw him backing out of challenges, his head dropped, and that's not what we needed at that moment in time. You compare him to Shrimpton, who was chasing everything, throwing himself into tackles. I know, Shrimpton, the midfielder, Wilson, winger, attacking midfielder, whatever you want to call him. I know some wingers are like that, and kind of drift in and out of games. But I've just not really seen enough in the past few months, really. And I know that can be said for a lot of the players. But for me, I'm going to get a bit of stick for saying it, but he is a bit of a one-trick pony for me. And I can't really say, maybe someone in the National League would come in for him. He obviously got the England C call-up, which was probably deserved. In that run of form, he's got a couple of goals, and I think he didn't make the final squad, did he? But he probably deserved the call up on that run of form. But yeah, for me, I wouldn't be too bothered either way. But I do think he'll be here at the start of the season, and I might be completely wrong, and he might get a really good move. But I just can't see anyone coming in for him that would tempt him to go, really. So I think he will stay, and the only other one that's that they've made an offer to is Rams, and I just don't really understand that one either.
I think just for kind of for Wilson, I don't really disagree. I know a lot of fans really love him, and I think the reason is just he's kind of a young up and coming winger who does for the most part do exciting things on the pitch, and it's easy for a player like that to endear himself to the fans, really, and I always thought, he kind of had something about himself, and I'm glad he's managed to get a decent amount of games under his belt and score a few goals and sort of have a few eye-catching performances this season. But I do agree with you, Matt. I don't think he's as good as a lot of Iron fans think he is, and I don't think he's kind of that. He's either ready or will ever be ready for kind of maybe a football league to club to come in for him. But I do think somebody will come in for him in the summer. And obviously he's not under contract, is he? So I do think somebody will come in and there will be some interest. And he's still relatively young. It might not be for kind of a first team slot, but kind of coming off the bench or something like that. I think that, you know, somebody will come in for him. And, you know, I think I kind of probably would rather keep him just because he did have good spells and he scored a good amount of goals from kind of forward positions sort of this season. And I think given the chance, he probably will do well again next season at the level below. So it would be nice to kind of see him stay. But, you know, I'm not hugely bothered, but I think there will be some interest.
I mean, I think he has got some talent. You know, I think we've seen it in spells this season where I'm thinking there's been a couple of good goals he's scored and you know, he's been quite good on the ball, especially in that central role. When he's been given the central role, I think he's made some good runs in behind and he's looked quite sharp at times. But for me, it's just the body language. I don't know. I'm just not having it, to be honest. Just my opinion there. And I know I'll get slated for it. But yeah, I wouldn't be disappointed if he'd turned that deal down. And I think that's the same with them all, really. I think you look at them, I don't think there's anyone in that list that's going to really go on if they leave and have a really good career somewhere else, you know, at a higher level. I just can't see it. You know, we are where we are for a reason. They've all played a part in a really embarrassing sort of season. And the ones that have been here previous, you know, that there's some of those players there that are still under contract that have played the part in, you know, the past few seasons have kind of declined. So, yeah, I wouldn't, if that list was releasing everyone, I don't think anyone could argue with that. I think it would be well deserved, but yeah, it's where we are. I think if Wilson does stay, I mean, he didn't do a lot when he was at Scarborough in the National League North. He obviously came back, had a few good games with us, and at times he looked okay. But yeah, for me, it's just the attitude. I mean, he might be fully committed, you know, but it's just how it comes across on the pitch for me. It wasn't good enough in that past couple of months.
Let's look at the players that are leaving then. So we've mentioned a few already, but I'll go through the list again. So it's Ben Richards, Everton, Colin Daniel, Dan Gallimore, Elliot Whitehouse, George Taft, Jack Morbillam, Jordan Hallam, Liam Feeney, Mason O'Malley and Sean Shields. So I'll just add as well to that one that returned to the parent club following the loan, Tom Bilson, Jake Leake, Will Smith, Billy Fewster, Liam Thompson and Richie Bennett. So there's a few names in there that I guess have been here a while, and I guess some of our bigger players. But again, like you're saying, not really a massive surprise. Let's start with Whitehouse, because I don't think it's unexpected. You know, obviously he was loaned out and he did really well, didn't he, on loan. We saw him, you know, man of the matches and, you know, tweets about him all the time, didn't we? I don't think even if he'd been offered a contract necessarily would have taken it because of that, you know, so we don't know what's gone on, but it's clear he wasn't in the plans here. Not unexpected, but I guess still disappointing because I did like him as a player. I thought he was good.
Yeah, I like Whitehouse. I think he's a good player and chances are he'll probably stay at Chester, whether that's if they go up or they stay where they are. I think they'll probably sign him in. He's been absolutely exceptional for them, really. You know, man of the match performances, bagging goals. And, you know, when he played for us, like when he came on sort of more recently, again, he did really well. And whatever, for whatever reason, you know, Jimmy just didn't like him. I don't know why that is. We don't know, do we? We ain't got a clue. For some reason, Jimmy didn't like him, so he shipped him out. And clearly that was the wrong decision because we've been shite and he's been quality elsewhere. And it's as simple as that, really, and it's disappointing. But I think that, you know, he's obviously playing good football for a team who are currently doing really well in National League North and obviously in the playoffs and stuff like that. It'd be interesting to see how they do. So it's just the way it is, isn't it? It's unfortunate, really. And sort of for the rest of the list, I mean, honestly, Ben Richard Everton, I would have kept him, honestly. I thought he was good. I thought it'd have been fine to keep. Don't know why we've not kept him.
I think he maybe fell out of favour slightly because I'm remembering towards the sort of back end of the season where he didn't play, did he? And I don't know if there's an injury or not. I can't remember one, but I know Dean implied, didn't he, in sort of interviews with Humberside that he was changing the squad based on who he, you know, thought put the effort in games previously. And I know certainly around Gateshead that, you know, we changed quite a few that game. And I think, you know, Richard Everton was one of them. Now, whether that's just, you know, implying the wrong thing, I don't know. It could be. Maybe he's injured. I have no idea. But that is a possible explanation.
Mm-hmm. The implication was that he was one of the ones that down tools. That's how I kind of read that from Dean, to be honest.
So, yeah, you know, Colin Daniel, Donkey, not bothered. Dan Gallimore, not really that bothered. We spoke about Whitehouse. Taff, probably one of the worst centre-backs I've ever seen. So, you know, thankfully he's gone.
Have you not seen his show reel today? 5 minutes of sliding tackles.
Oh, really?
No, I've not seen that.
Yeah, he's just released one, trying to find a new club. So, yeah.
Brilliant. That'll get him a contract. Thankfully, we finally got rid of Hallam. You know, I mean, the less we say about him, the better. And I don't know about Feeney, to be honest. I think he was all right. I thought Feeney was decent, to be honest. And obviously, he had that injury. And I think Jimmy didn't really favour him that much either. He kind of normally played him in sort of a sub role. But again, he did have an injury, so it's difficult to say. I don't know. I think Mason's a weird one.
Mason's a shame, I think, like, for me. I do like him.
What is going on with that? Because I think he's genuinely a good footballer. And I think he's got a hell of a left foot. Why did Jimmy not like him? I don't know. And I think genuinely Mason will play in the Football League in the next few years. He is good enough. I think that he is good enough. And I think if he goes to a team who are kind of in and around the playoffs, who are kind of forward-thinking team that are really solid. He plays in a good defence. And I think probably his weakest kind of side is his defending, I think. But he's really good going forward. He's got a great left foot. You know, set-piece specialist. Somebody in League Two is going to come in and bring him in, and he's going to be their first choice left back. And I think he's never going to look back. So hopefully he does well. It's really unfortunate that it's just for some reason Jimmy didn't fancy him. And then for Sean Shields, not bothered either way, to be honest. And then do we even need to talk about the loanees? Because Bilson was terrible, Bennett was a Blackpool donkey, and you know, I like Will Smith. He was good.
Smith was good.
Yeah, Smith was good. Leek, take it or leave it. Billy Fuster and Liam Thompson, again, not really care either way. So, you know, there we go. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Richard Everton, as I said, I think he was, he put in some decent performances when he first came in and he looked fairly solid, but I do think he was probably one of the ones that Dean was referring to, that are down tools. And I think that was unfortunate, because I do think, you know, when he first came in, the Yeovil fans were taking the piss, to be honest, saying he was shocking. And we didn't really see that originally, you know. When he first came in, he looked okay, but yeah, for whatever reason, that's just not worked out. And you know, maybe he's wanting to get back down south. You couldn't blame him for that, really. The rest, I mean, Colin Daniel never really featured. I think he did well at left back for a spell under Nelson. I think he was looking quite solid there, but obviously, as soon as Dean came in, Leek was preferred. And that's just kind of, yeah, he was never going to get back in after that. Whitehouse, I know you've mentioned it, Matt, but yeah, for me, because he was kind of in and out of the team anyway, wasn't he, with Tony Dawes? He went on loan, was it to Spennymoor earlier in the season? So he did have a spell earlier on in the season. So it was not just Dean that didn't fancy him. Obviously, Nelson brought him back in and he played really well, had some really good, you know, man of the match at Halifax, I think, when we won. And there were several other games where I thought he was one of our best players. And if Chester go up, you know, he's capable at this level or National League level. If they stay down, then he's probably going to be one of the best midfielders. If he does join Chester, he's probably going to be one of the best midfielders in the league at National League North level. And I think it's not unexpected. I think it was, you know, that he was one of the names I expected to go just because of how it panned out. And ultimately, that was Dean's decision. He's kind of, yeah, he never really gave him a second glance, really. I think he played him when he had to. But other than that, he was always looking to play someone else, even when White House for me would have been the better option and never really let us down. So, yeah, a shame with that one, really, but completely understand it. And I think he's probably better off out of it. And he's obviously found somewhere at Chester who, you know, the fans really appreciate him. And I think the fans appreciated him here when he played. But I think he's obviously fit in well to their midfield and they're playing really well. And he's chipped in with a few goals and things as well. So, you know, fair play to him. Please, that's kind of worked out for him because he's always kind of given his all when he's played for us. Taft, yeah, you know, it just thank goodness, really, because I think he was a high earner on far too much money, really, for what he contributed, if the rumours are to be believed. And, yeah, it'd be interesting to see where he ends up. Hallam, again, I think you're right with that one. Just good to get him off the wage bill. Unfortunate, because I think he has got something about him. When he plays, he has got a bit of quality. But we just can't keep players like that at the club. And I think we've kept him 3 years too long, haven't we? It's, I think, saw the stats, Iron Stats posted, and what he played about the equivalent of 11 games, was it, or something like that, during his time, which is just, yeah, there's just no return on the investment there whatsoever. So, yeah, pleased to see the back of him, but hopefully he can get fixed up and sorted and get over his injuries, but at somebody else's expense. And then, yeah, the rest, Feeney, time for him to go. Shields, you know, I saw a few bits of quality from him, but really didn't really do enough. And again, probably another one that might move down south. And O'Malley, finally, I think, you know, he got off the season to a bit of a bad start, really. I think he was not really at the races initially, and then he got the injury and never really got back in. And I think that move to Ilkeston probably did him good, playing football, winning games. And I agree with you, Matt. I think there's definitely something there, and he's another one that probably just needs a fresh start somewhere else. And it's a shame it's not worked out for him, because I think, you know, attitude-wise, he's always given his all. You know, there is a player in there, and the quality's there. It's just about finding the right club for him, really. And I think if he does find the right club, then he will go on to have a decent career, and hopefully he does, because I think, you know, he's never really let us down in the sense that, you know, attitude and things like that. I think he's always tried his best. And it must have been difficult this season, frozen out for a lot of it. When he came in a couple of times, he played fairly well. So, yeah, I mean, that's it, really, with the players going out. And as you said, the loanees, I don't think there's any realistic chance of any of them coming back next season. I think Will Smith has used it just to for a bit of rehabilitation, really, after the injury. And I think he could easily play League Two with with a decent side around him, and I'm sure he will. But as for the rest of them, yeah, not really fussed either way. And yeah, just really poor signings in February that have kind of contributed to that. And I think if you look at the players that came in February, you know, there's not an awful amount of them staying for next season, barring obviously Elliot, we paid money for. And Chapman as well, but other than that, most of them have gone, and that probably sums up the recruitment.
So looking at who's left, and obviously as we've said, and as the statement says, that, you know, there still might be more to go yet. Looking ahead at this summer, you know, what do we need? Where do we need it?
Well, I mean, where do you start? to be honest, looking at the two strikers, I know Carver sort of divides opinion, and, you know, he's not scored, has he? I don't think, I can't remember him scoring since he's come in. However, his record at that level is decent. He's committed. I think, you know, he tries his best. He gets stuck in. Not a bad sort of target man. And I think it'd be nice to see what they could do together, Carver and Elliot, as a partnership. I do think we'll need, you know, someone else in there as well. But I do think Carver wouldn't be the end of the world if he stayed. I mean, I would quite like to see him stay. Again, I might get a load of stick for that, but I do think he could offer us something next season. And those two I've got no real issues with. But other than that, you know, I think we're going to need another keeper if Foster goes, whether that's just a young lad or someone a bit more experienced. I just can't see anyone. If Chapman stays and he's fit, I just can't see another experienced keeper coming in. I don't think we'd have two. I think it's going to be one and a youngster. So it'd be interesting to see if it's going to be one of ours that are coming up or whether they look to get someone else in on loan or something like that. But that's definitely an area that needs to strengthen. And you look, I mean, defensively is pretty key as well, because we've not got a lot left. Obviously, Ogle, presuming he stays, I think he will be absolutely fine at right back. And I think everyone's hoping that he does. But again, centre-back, you're going to need at least a couple, I would imagine. You're going to need a left-back. And then I think the area we've got to get right this season is midfield, because I just think it's not been right, has it, for the last couple of seasons. We've just not really had a central midfield. Doesn't matter who we've really played in there. We always seem to kind of get bossed. And yeah, we've got to kind of get a hold on the middle of the pack. And I think if we do that, and you've got a couple of decent centre-backs and obviously Chapman in behind those, and you've got the strikers, then we've got that solid spine again. But yeah, the midfield for me is key, because we've not really got anything.
I do left. Think Shrimpton could be a big part of that.
Yeah, I think he could. And, you know, I think he's shown enough this season. I mean, he's been good enough at times this season. Obviously, against Notts County, it was difficult for him, but I think it was a collective that day that wasn't good enough. But I do think, he's shown enough this season to show that he will be good enough next season. But we've got to get the players in round him. You know, I think if we start the season with Rance and Shrimpton as the midfield, presuming Rance stays, I've not seen enough really from Rance to think he could do it. And I know he's played a hell of a lot of games at that level, and he's really experienced. And he might not have been fit. You know, it sounds like he was injured when he first came in. Again, that's another thing we've got to look at with recruitment next season. We just can't sign injured players. He might be one that is okay if he stays with a full pre-season. But at the moment, I mean, if we start the season with those two, I wouldn't be over the moon, put it that way. But I do think Shrimpton, for me, he's probably been one of the better players. Effort and technically, I think he's been fine, really. Obviously, tries to keep it simple and keep the ball, and he's effective normally at doing that. So you can't really ask for any more. And I just think he's going to need some help in there. But I think, you know, we need a lot of players through the door, don't we? I think we're looking at sort of, I don't know, 8 to 10, do you think, maybe more?
Yeah, I think so. Given that, you know, I think, as we said, I probably expect like half again of the contracted players to leave in the summer, which leaves us with you know, not many players, does it really? So I think, yeah, we're going to need at least 10, I think, probably more. But yeah, it's just a symptom of it, isn't it? Really, none of the rest of them are really worth keeping. So it's not that huge kind of a surprise, really. But again, we've got to keep it right. And I agree on kind of Carver as well. I think that I don't really have a problem with Carver. As we said, he has kind of consistently scored goals in this at this level, and when he plays, he does pretty much give his all, doesn't he? To be fair to him, he's not one of those who's down tools and given up. He's kind of run to the end, really, and given it his best shot when he's played. And I think that's a quality we need more of. So I'm happy for him to stay, really, and see if he can sort of forge a bit of a partnership with Elliot and see how that'll go. But because at the end of the day, between those two National League North level, there's goals there. There's enough goals there for us to have a good season. There's no doubt about that if they can keep fit. So I think that's pretty good. But, you know, we none of us really know this league that well, do we? So it's difficult to say who we're going to bring in, and we just don't know. And we won't know if the sign-ins have been any good until we've played a few games as well.
Yeah, I think we'll probably leave that there then. Just sort of a bit of a look at the retain list really for this one. As we're heading into, you know, close season and, you know, into the summer, typically what we do is we've, you know, switched to In Conversations, and we, you know, we've got a few lined up. I know there's a few that we've announced that haven't been done yet, but they're coming. We also do have one hopefully coming probably next Friday. I'm not going to say who it is. We've not announced it yet because this could potentially, you know, fall through. It'll be a shorter episode than normal, but it is quite a big one. So hopefully we will get that done, and you should have an In Conversation out next Friday. Not going to say who it is. I'll leave that with you. We'll see you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.